Welcome to Jeremiah Smith Ministries, a place where you can grow in God's Word. Well, welcome to our worldwide church service. How you doing today? Are you doing good? Well, I hope that you're doing good. Praise the Lord. I'm Jeremiah Smith here, and I'm here to encourage you and be a blessing to you today. Have you had a good week? Are things going good for you today? Well, I hope that they are, and I believe God's got some good things in store for you this week. He's got some wonderful things he wants to do in you this week, and I believe he wants to bless you. Are you doing good? Are you taking care of yourself? Are you feeding yourself spiritually? Well, that's what I'm here for, is to help you feed yourself spiritually and encourage you in the Lord. And, you know, people have encouraged me for years. And I just want to be here to encourage you today in God's Word. God's Word is it encourages your soul, your spirit encourages you in every way. And that's what we want to do, is encourage you in every way today. Praise the Lord. Well, you can catch us live every Wednesday at 6 p.m. time. Typically every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Central Time. Sometimes I come up, but typically we're there at 6 p.m. Central Time. And then at Sundays at 4 p.m. Central Time on our live podcast on Podbeam. You can also catch us live typically on YouTube there by video. If not, then we'll upload it. We'll make sure that you get the audio and get the video there. If we have to do that, we'll make sure that we work it out somewhere. We'll make sure that something's there for you to encourage you and be a blessing to you, and maybe even a guest or something like that. But we try to make sure that something is available for you every Wednesday and every Sunday. So Sunday at 4 p.m. Central Time, and to your times, you know, we have people listening literally all over the world. And so you want to make sure that you fit it in your time so that you're able to be blessed by it and encouraged by it, and be able to get to listen to the messages there each week. And, you know, if you can't live, don't feel bad. You can listen to us on the rebroadcast on Spotify, Google Music, iTunes, Listen Notes, Podbeam, TuneIn off Alexia, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Deezer. You can catch us on Pandora, Verbal, Amazon Music, iVox, Audio Junkie, Podchaser, Player FM, Samsung, YouTube, and listen to the rebroadcast on YouTube as well. We make sure and post those videos just as soon as we possibly can for YouTube, and so you can check those out, and I believe that they'll be a blessing to you. Do you believe that? Do you believe they'll be a blessing to you? Well, I believe that they will, and I hope that it has been an encouragement to you. And so my family's worked to make sure that taking the time to make sure this is out there, make sure that we're taking care of those posts for you, and we want to make sure that you're getting encouraged in the Lord. You know, we have lots of messages you can also listen to on Podbeam, nearly 300 podcasts that you can check out on Podbeam if you want those out. And of course, we have Coffee Confessions. We'll upload that right about midnight tonight, and that's where I come along and just kind of give you some basic confessions, which we have right off the website there at Jeremiah Smith Ministries at podbeam.com. You can upload those messages and or upload those Coffee Confessions there, and it's basically me just coming along doing confessions with you with music behind us and kind of helping you kind of get your confessions going for the week. And you can listen to it throughout the week if you want to download it, give it to someone else. All of our messages you can download and give to someone else, and I encourage you to do that to be a blessing to someone around you. So you can do that, and you can catch the new one this week here. It should be at about midnight that'll be uploaded, and you can do it at any time you want to throughout your day. Now, we do make those very short. They're usually about 13 to 15 minutes there, so that you can fit it within your day before you go to work or there, so that you're confessing God's Word and speaking the good things of His Word over your life. And so we feel very like that's very important, so we like to make sure that we're doing that on a weekly. And if you want to give, you can give. Luke 6:38 says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over." Isn't that the way God does things? And you can give to this ministry. You can go to jeremiahsmithministries.podbeam.com if you'd like to give there. And you can go there and give in a couple ways. And if you'd like to do that, no pressure to give there. Galatians 6:7 says, "Be not deceived. God's not mocked. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap." And so you want to make sure that you're sowing in the areas that you need things so that God can be a blessing back to you. And some people say, "Well, you're just trying to preach prosperity, preach, you know, that God wants to give you things, and, you know, you should just give and not expect anything back." Well, you know, we're supposed to give with harvest in mind. You know, Jesus looks at you as his harvest. You don't think he has you in mind? Yes, he does. And he paid the price so that you have the things that you need to have in your life. So you need to make sure that you're giving and giving him something to work with, and so that he can bless your life. Let me get a drink here. but make sure that you're giving on a regular basis. Do you believe that? It's important that we give, right? We got to make sure that we're giving. And so you want to make sure that you're giving on a regular basis. So let's go ahead and get into God's Word. Grab your Bible. Get your tablet. Get your phone. Get whatever you need today as we get into God's Word. And we're going to get started here. I've got my Bible, got my tablet, got my phone, got laptops. I got the big computer here, and right into God's Word today. And so let's get started today. Let's start with prayer. Father, we just thank you, Father, for your goodness. We thank you, Father, for your mercy. You've been so good to us. And Father, as we get into your Word today, we ask that your Holy Spirit be our teacher, to be our help, to be our standby. Help us to get the things we need by your Holy Spirit today. We ask that you help everybody listening to get what they need today by your Holy Spirit, Father. And Father, we ask for burdens to be removed, destroyed. Set that one free that's needing free right there, Father. We pray in Jesus' name. And Father, we just ask that you help people get saved through this message and get help everybody with a spiritual question to get their question answered today. And Father, we just thank you, Father, as we're from heaven. I believe you've got some things you want to say today. Help me to communicate those things you want me to communicate the way you want me to communicate them today. And we ask for it in Jesus' name. Flood us with light. In Jesus' name, and we thank you, Father. Before we go, we just minister to you. Thank you for being so good to us, taking care of our families, taking care of us. Oh, thank you for providing for us, making sure we're always somewhere with blessed with air conditioning or heat, wherever we're at in the world. And Father, take care of us in a good way, and take care of our families. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Do you believe? I believe it. So we're going to go ahead and get into the scriptures today. Get your Bible, get your phone. We're going to be talking about today releasing your faith. Did you hear me now? Releasing your faith. That's what we're going to be talking about today. You might write that down, put it in your notes there so you kind of know where we're going with this today. Write down some things. It's always good. Put them in your phone. Put them in your tablet when the Lord speaks to you, you know, and so you're listening and getting what he wants you to say. You know, if we don't value what he has to say, then, you know, that may be why he's not talking to a lot of us, right? We have to value what he has to say. You know, if you're not willing to take the time to write it down or feel like it's important or really keep it on your heart, make sure that you're putting it before you, you know, why would he give you something else? Because you're not valuing what he has to say. So it's important that you value what he has to say. He's a good father, you know, but it's important that we value and honor what he has to say to us on a regular basis. And he has a lot to say to us. He's a good God, and he has a lot to help us get in the right direction. And he'll focus on something, you know, because he knows that something's coming ahead. And so it's important that we're listening to the Holy Spirit. Let's go over to James, the book of James, the second chapter, the 14th verse. James 2. We're just going to look at the 14th verse as we start here. It says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith, but have not works? Can faith save him?" Well, he's asking a good question there. Two questions, actually. He says that have not works. Does it value anything? Is it important? Is it going to make things happen for you if you don't have works with your faith? No. You know, your faith will do nothing if you don't have the works to go along with your faith, right? Faith can't even save you. You can have all the faith in the world, but it won't save you. But we have to release our faith. That's what we're talking about today, you know. And, you know, you can't even get saved. That's what he's talking about in that scripture there. You can believe Jesus is Lord of your life. You can believe that he's the Messiah, the sent one for you. But you still have to release your faith. You say, well, how do you do that? Well, we confess it. We speak it. But we have to release our faith. You can believe things all your life. You can believe God wants to heal you. You can believe that he wants you to be well. He wants to prosper you. He wants you to have a good plan. But you still have to have works. You have to do the things that are involved for those things to come to pass in your life. Let's look at James, the second chapter, the 14th verse. This is the New Living Translation. It says, "What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but don't show by your actions?" Right? So, you know, how do we know that you have faith? Well, you know, you have corresponding actions with what you're doing, right? In every area of your life, you have to have corresponding actions. You know, I can say, well, God wants me to love everybody or that I'm supposed to love people all around me. But if I don't act like that, if I don't show love, then I'm not acting on my faith, right? yeah, I can have that faith that I'm supposed to walk in love every day, but if I don't show love and treat people with love all around me, then I'm not acting on my faith. We're supposed to act on our faith in every area, you know. We're going to be talking about specific areas, but, you know, you're supposed to act on your faith in every area. That's the Christian life, is acting on your faith in every area. That's a privilege, to get to act on your faith in every area. Aren't you glad that we get to act on our faith in every area? You know, the world acts on their faith in every area. They don't even realize it, but they act on their faith in every area. You know, they believe that check's going to be there every week. They act like the check's going to be there. And typically the check is there. Sometimes it's not. I was at a job one time, I'll never forget. You know, it was Valentine's weekend. And I'll never forget, the checks didn't show up. Oh, you talk about stressed people and people there. Oh, my goodness. They were worried. They were supposed to have a Valentine's weekend with their wife. You know, they're living paycheck to paycheck at that place. And they're expecting to have that check there so they can make sure and take care of their wife or girlfriend. And the check didn't come, you know, but they have faith it's going to be there typically every time, you know, but that didn't show up. You talk about a mess. It was a mess, you know. People were upset, you know. But it's important that we have faith with corresponding actions in every area of your life. I'll never forget this one Christian job I had, you know, and they just started this company. And this person was looking for, you know, for their check. And she was actually a person that I don't believe she was actually saved when they started this company, this call center. And she started working there because they had her work there. And she wanted her check. And the checks didn't come on time. And she was upset. I saw her walk across that call center floor like she was just upset. It wasn't on time. She was upset. But, you know, she's even acting on her faith then. You know, she believes a check's going to be there. It's her right. It's going to be there. And she's going to go get that check. You know, and people of faith, we need to have corresponding actions with our faith. We're supposed to be releasing our faith at all times. This is not a subject to, you know, over-spiritualize, because some people get very spiritual when it comes to faith. You know, we can over-spiritualize it where we're drinking coffee with angels every day. I remember Criflo Dollar saying that one time. You know, drinking coffee with angels every day. People want to over-spiritualize a lot of things, you know. But we're talking about releasing your faith. What are believers, what are we doing in all the areas that we're supposed to be releasing our faith? That's the question we're asking ourselves today. What are you doing to release your faith today? Well, let's look here real quick here. Notice acting on your faith is an action. Romans 10, 9 and 10. We talked about this a little bit, but this is what it says in Romans 10, 9 and 10. And this is the typical verse that people use to get saved. And listen to what it says here in the ninth verse. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, so you're speaking things out of your mouth, and confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe God, and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Well, you know, faith, if you look it up, the definition of faith, one of them is believe, right? You can interchange them there, faith and believe. And beliefs are formed within you. Faith is formed within you. It's a, and under the Vine's Concordance says it's a persuasion. It's a firm persuasion, right? Remember Paul, he's talking to King Agrippa. He said, you almost persuade me, Paul. He was trying to get King Agrippa saved, you know. He said, you almost persuade me, Paul. He's trying. He's telling him all about the Messiah, I'm sure, and all those things, trying to persuade him, using every tool and avenue he had, trying to get him saved. We know that about Paul, reading his scriptures. That's the way he is. He goes every which way he possibly can, because he's a very intelligent man. Raised at the feet of Gamaliel, he's very intelligent. Then he's using every avenue he could, I'm sure, to get him saved, you know, persuading, a firm persuasion. Well, you know, you can be firmly persuaded that your God wants to heal you today, have faith that he wants to heal you today, but it has to do with your actions. You may have firm persuasion he wants to get you that new job today because he's a God and that gives you good things. He wants to make sure you have a good job, or you may be persuaded he wants to you to have a good wife in your life, you know. But, you know, there's certain things that we have to do. That faith will do you nothing, but you have to step out. You have to have corresponding actions with your faith, right? So it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So how do you get saved? Well, was it by faith? not just faith, right? And faith is what pleases God. We're supposed to have faith. I'm not putting down faith in any way, but you have to release your faith. He says, release it with your words. He says, confess with thy mouth. It's not just getting saved. We can click our feet and clap our hands and jump all around, but we have to have the corresponding actions that he tells us to have to get the release of faith that we need to have to get saved. So we got to speak it. We got to say it out of our mouth. And when he does that, he saves us right there in our hearts and changes our hearts for his glory. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad he saved you? I'm glad he saved me. I don't know about you. Get to go to heaven. Get to go up there and be with the Father. Oh, it's exciting. You know, I mean, nothing but good things are going to happen for me in this life after, as I'm here or after I pass away. It's going to be good there. It's going to be good if he comes back. I'm in a good way because I accepted Jesus and asked for his salvation. Think about that today, you know, and he wants you saved if you're not saved today, you know, and you just have to have some corresponding action. We'll do that at the end of this podcast and give you a chance to get saved if you want to. But he says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with mouth confession is made unto salvation. Notice here, we're releasing our faith by our words. And you know, the number one way to release your faith is by your words. That's why we have coffee with confessions every week. You know, you say, well, he just plugged it again. Yeah, I plugged it again. Coffee confessions. You're calling those things that be not as though they were. That's exactly what you're doing when you get saved. You're calling for the things that you need to have, you know. If I need to have my dog come over here, I'm going to call my dog. I'm not going to call for a cat, right? My son, I believe he just got a cat, and his old cat passed away. He got another cat, and I believe it's called, and don't quote me on this if he's listening, don't get upset with me, but I believe he said his name was Fudge or something like that. But, you know, think about that. If I'm going to call Fudge, you know, I shouldn't be calling Odie, right? I shouldn't be calling for Fudge. If I want Odie to come over here, I call Odie. Here's Odie right over here, matter of fact. Odie, come here. Odie, come here. Come here, Odie. Come here. You see him on camera yet? Here he comes. Come here, Odie. He's walking over here. You hear his feet? Here comes Odie. There he is. And I pet Odie right down here. Let me see if I can get the camera on Odie down here. There's Odie. There's Odie. Right? See, I'm a real good cameraman there, trying to move my camera's about to fall down. One moment, please. And we fixed it. There we go. But, you know, if I'm wanting Odie, I call for Odie, right? Odie comes over here. Odie, he's here when I need him. And, you know, Odie, he shows up. But if I call for Fudge, I mean, Fudge probably come. I don't know if cats are as good about coming, you know, as dogs are, you know. But if I call for Fudge, I believe that's the name of that cat. If I call for Fudge, then Fudge would probably be here, you know. And we want to make sure that we're calling for those things that we need to have, right? Odie's here. He's still here. He's wanting to be petted a little bit more here. But you want to call for the things that you need to have in your life, calling those things that be not as though they were, praise the Lord. So we want to call for those things. And that's what you're doing when you're calling for salvation. You're calling for what you need to have. If you need healing, you're calling for healing. If you're calling for wisdom, you're calling for wisdom. He says, if you ask me for wisdom in that same chapter of James, he'll give it to you liberally. He's a good God. He'll give you wisdom if you're needing to have wisdom, praise the Lord. But we have to release our faith in many ways. So it's important to know that we have faith, but by itself, it doesn't do anything. So it's not just getting faith. It's releasing your faith. And this is typically the problem with many people. You know, people have faith. That's not usually the problem. Most of the time, people have faith. You'd be surprised how much faith you have. You know, most of the time, people have a whole lot more faith than they even realize they have. But it's releasing the faith that's within you. That's the importance of it. You know, you can believe God wants to prosper you, but you got to release your faith. That's why we give, right? You know, you can believe God wants you to that, you know, have freedom right now, and you're bound and oppressed, and, you know, but you got to release your faith, you know, start speaking that thing every day. I'm free. For who the Son sets free is free indeed. Well, you say, well, I'm still having challenges. Well, you still say you're free. You know, it doesn't have anything to do with what you're looking at. It has to do with what God's word says about you. And we have to agree with what God has to say about us, praise the Lord. In every area of our lives, we're agreeing with what God has to say about us. If he says, I give you richly all things to enjoy, we should agree with him. He wants to give us richly all things we enjoy. That's the scripture. That's in the Bible. He wants you to have all things that you enjoy in this life. But we have to agree with him and make sure that, you know, we're believing what he has to say. I remember my wife, you know, we've been married now. We just celebrated 25 years. Praise the Lord. I mean, man, I'm so glad that she had grace to deal with me for 25 years. You know, she deserves an honor. She deserves a plaque, deserves a big trophy. Matter of fact, she deserves one of those big old trophies like the racers get, you know, that's too big for them, you know, and overflowing with stuff. That's what my wife deserves, you know, putting up with me. But do you think about 25 years, you know, we've learned a lot over 25 years. But I remember when I first asked her out, you know, well, hey, I can believe God wants me to have a wonderful wife. I can believe God has someone special for me. But I have to do something, you know. She's not probably going to just walk into, you know, to be with me and walk in the room and spend time with me, you know. I have to pursue her, and I have to step out in faith, you know. And whatever you're needing in your life, you've got to pursue it as God leads you, you know. You have to listen to the Holy Spirit and listen to the avenues he wants you to choose. But he wants you to release your faith and step out, you know, so that you can get the things that he has for you, some special things. Jesus paid the price for you to have good things in your life, but you have to be willing to step out in faith. Sometimes that means you got to step out when it doesn't look right. You know, if you're waiting for all the circumstances to look perfect, then you probably never get the things that God has for you. You know, you have to step out even when the circumstances say something different. You know, the enemy, he controls this world out here. But God, he controls through you the things that he needs to happen in your world, you know. And you have to step out and trust him. He's going to make it look as challenging as possible. But you have to be a person that's willing to step out no matter what it looks like and trust God in every area. So, you know, me and my wife are married, I say, 25 years, you know. Good-looking woman, you know. But I'll never forget, I had to step out, you know. I mean, I tried to show I cared and tried to show I love her, but I'll never forget that we were celebrating, I believe it was my birthday, and I told her, you know, I said, this is going to be it. This is going to be the time I do it, you know. And she comes out the car, and I tell her, I said, hey, I have feelings for you. Stepping out in faith, you know. Maybe she would have said no. Maybe she would have said she didn't like me. But, hey, somebody's going to have to step out in faith and trust the Lord, you know. But God has someone special for me, and if I have to go for 30 no's, I need to get to the right person. So we got to step out in faith. You know, maybe someone told you can't do this. That's okay. God has another avenue, you know. You know, I've listened many times about movies and things being made, and it's amazing how many times they get denied over and over and over. But we wouldn't have some of the great movies we have today. Wouldn't have great songs. I've heard of musicians getting turned down by record labels over and over and over. But, you know, you got to be willing to persevere and go for this thing, you know. And God's going to open up the right door, but you still have to step out and trust God with faith. And you let God get you the right person. Well, I'm fortunate for me. I stepped down. She was the right woman. And we've been married 25 years, have had great adventures in faith together with God. But it's important that you step out and trust the Lord. Look over here at James, the first chapter, the second verse and 14th verse. He says, what doth it profit a man? May he say he have faith, but have not works. Can faith save him? The 17th verse says, even so faith it hath not works is being dead alone. He says it's dead. It has no life to it unless you're stepping out and using your faith in some way. You can say all kinds of things that, you know, about God and all these things. I believe all these things, but we don't see it unless you step out. You know, we don't know that you're a loving person unless you show love. We don't know that you're a person that forgives people unless you forgive. That if you believe it and you have faith for it, You have to step out with the corresponding actions. James, the second chapter, and faith does affect you in every area, by the way. I just mentioned a few other areas that many people don't mention. But, you know, it takes faith to show love. It takes faith to show forgiveness. It takes faith to show in every area of your life that you do. It's a persuasion. Are you persuaded that you're supposed to be walking in love today? Are you persuaded that you need to forgive or your prayers aren't going to be answered today? Well, you better step out and have corresponding actions with your faith. Forgive them. Show love to them. That's how, you know, you should prove your faith into actions. James, the second chapter, the 18th verse says, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. James like, hey, you can see my faith by what I do, right? And, you know, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. He's confident in what he did on a daily basis enough to you could watch him and be influenced to walk in faith. Think about that today. You could see Paul's life, and he was confident. He said, you could follow me as I follow Christ and have that good of an experience fall on him that you saw the faith in his life, that it was going to affect you in a good way. That's confidence. That's confidence. Can you say that about your life to other people that, hey, if you follow me, you're following the Lord because I'm showing faith on a daily basis, my corresponding actions with my faith on a daily basis. Think about that today. That's a strong statement to be able to make. Yet Paul was able to say it, and so is James here. He says, James says, I can show you my faith by what I do, right? He says, you're going to see it in my life on a daily basis. James, the second chapter, the 20th verse, says, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? The 21st verse in the second chapter says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? The 22nd verse says, seest thou faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And then it says in the 24th verse, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Saying justification is not just by, you know, having faith. It's by corresponding actions in your life. And then the 25th verse, it says, likewise, also Rahab the harlot justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way. And the 26th verse says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So he says it again there. He says, faith without works is dead, then again also. So you can have faith, but if it has no corresponding action with it, it does you no good at all. Think about that today. You know, we work hard to get our faith, and we work hard. We'll listen to 50 different messages. You know, faith cometh by hearing, you know, and hearing by the word, and we're building all this faith. But, you know, you can have a huge amount of faith, enough to move a mountain, but if you don't have corresponding action, nothing's going to get done, you know. So we got to make sure that we're using our faith. And he tells us in this first and second chapter 11 times he's trying to get it across, right, James? He's saying, you know, I want you to understand you got to have action with your faith, or it's no good at all. It won't help you at all. But he tells us 11 times. You think he was trying to get something across to us when he tells us 11 times in those first two chapters that, you know, that we need to have faith and corresponding actions? I think he was trying to get a point across. I don't know about you, but I see it. He's trying to tell me something. He's trying to get a point across to me that I need to have corresponding actions with my faith. You know, the truth is, like I said earlier, many people already have faith. They're already firmly persuaded. God wants to do some wonderful things to their lives. But if you never step out, then, you know, then we never see those things happen in our lives. You know, I remember when the Lord was dealing with me about going to Bible school, you know, and I'll never forget, you know, he's dealing with me about it. Well, you know, I had to get the brochure, you know. They had a little book about going to Raymond Bible School there, and I got that book, you know, and I'd go through that book and, you know, at my lunch break. And, you know, the conditions that I was in weren't saying, hey, go to Rhema. You know, I didn't have the money to go. You know, I didn't have the things I needed to go. Man, I wasn't even married yet. I didn't have an apartment yet. I didn't, you know, I hadn't moved yet. I lived in a different city. I had a job working in a warehouse at the time, you know, but do we go by our circumstances when it comes to our faith? You know, think about, even if you're going to walk in love today, do you go by the circumstances? You know, if they're loving you, that's when you start walking in love. Or The conditions are perfect. That's when I start walking in love. No, we don't go by the conditions. We go by what the Bible says. You know, our corresponding actions need to be with what he's telling us to do, whatever we're firmly persuaded about. It. Maybe he told you, and you're firmly persuaded that you need to go to Bible school, or you're firmly persuaded you need to start this business. You know, the corresponding action is that you start it. You say, well, I don't have the things to start it. That's okay. You start where you're at, and you start working your way towards it. Whatever you got to do, maybe it's just speaking it right now. Maybe it's just researching it right now. Maybe it's just looking it up right now. I mean, I got the brochure, and I'm meditating, looking at this thing and checking this thing out. You know, I didn't know much about it. Didn't know much about Brother Hagin at the time. I didn't know much about Brother Hagin Jr. at the time. Didn't even know about the teachers at the time. I just knew that the Lord was leading me to go that direction. And so I started making plans that way, working that way, you know, and God provided, you know, and took care of it and worked it out for me, you know. But, you know, you have a corresponding action. I had to move, had to find a place down there, had to trust him to show me how to do that. You know, I had to go to class. I had to get in line, even though I didn't have the money, you know, I still got in line and got enrolled, you know. He likes to sometimes do it right at the last minute. I don't know why, but God does that the last minute. You know, he works it all out where you can do what you need to do. But you got to be the one that has corresponding action, you know, stepping out in faith and trusting the Lord to do what he needs to do in your life. You know, and people with healing, a lot of people, this is why they don't get healing. You know, no corresponding action is why they're not getting healing. You know, it depends on where you're at with your faith level when it comes to healing. In every area, you know, it kind of depends on how persuaded you are and how much faith you have or how he's leading you. You know, some people, he may be saying, hey, you need to go to a healing service, you know, but they never leave their house. They just stay at home. They're persuaded to be healed. You know, maybe they need to listen to a message. I have messages on healing. Maybe they need to listen to a message on healing. You can listen to my series, Healing 101. Is what it's called, you know, and you can listen to that on Podbeam if you'd like to, you know, but maybe he's telling you need to start getting yourself feeding your faith and start acting on your faith. You know, that's what I talk about there in Healing 101. But, you know, you have to do something. There has to be an action involved in it, and maybe he'll lead you to do something else. Maybe he's saying, you know, if you couldn't walk real well before, start walking, you know. Maybe he's wants you to make some plans about healing. Maybe make some preparations to take a trip or a vacation you haven't been able to take before, you know. Start doing what he's leading you to do, you know. It may not be what the same someone else is being led to do, but that's what he's telling you to do, and that's what we have to do, is what he's leading us to do. And it's important that we take those steps. Praise the Lord. Maybe he wants you to be blessed, and he's saying you need to start sowing, you know. Well, you have to start somewhere. Right? Gotta start somewhere. You gotta start giving somewhere. You know, it doesn't happen by just having faith. You gotta start acting on it, start giving. Maybe you shouldn't have that latte that you had today. You know, you take that money, give it, you know, so God can bless you. And then you can have a whole bunch of lattes, you know, but you got to give on a regular basis. Make sure that he's bringing in the things that you need to have into your life on a regular basis, but you got to sow. And it's important that we sow. Let's look here in Mark, the second chapter, the first verse. And listen to what it says here, and I'm going to read this out of the New International Version. It says, as a few days later, when Jesus again entered into Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large groups that there was no room left. Not even outside the door, he preached the word to them. Think about that. It's so packed that even outside the door, you can't get in, you know. You ever been in a meeting like that? You know, I've been to overflow meetings, you know. Meetings are so full, you know, have a hard place to sit, you know. I don't know that I've never had trouble finding a place to sit. It's been very busy before, you know, but there's times there's meetings where they're overflowed and you can't even get in. Now, I haven't quite been to where they're overflowed and I can't get in, but they have them in separate rooms and you're watching on the TV, you know. It's so full, you know. Some of these meetings that people have are church services because they're so full, but, you know, it doesn't mean you don't go. If God told you to go, you got to go. And so it's important to be there. They gathered in such large numbers. And then it says here in the third verse, some men came bringing him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. So he's paralyzed. Evidently, he's pretty heavy. It took four of them to carry him. And it says, for them, since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it, and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. Think about that, you know. And he says, now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking of to themselves, why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, why are you thinking these things? I love that, you know. You know, he knows what you're thinking, right? Whatever you're thinking, you're not even trying to say it out of your mind. He knows what you're thinking. And you can talk to him, you know. And he may be asking you right now, why are you thinking like that? Why are you thinking that I can't bless you? Why are you thinking I can't help you? When he really wants to help you, he really wants to make sure your situation's better, but it has to do with your thinking. You know, maybe you've been taught stuff all your life that he's not a good God, or you're scared of him. Well, you know, God wants to help you, and he wants to make sure that you're knowing that he knows your thinking, which is easier to say to the paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, to say, get up, take your mat and walk. But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. He got up, took his mat, walked out in full view of them. They were amazed, everyone, and praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. You know, isn't that what we all want, though? You know, in every situation, you know, I've never seen anything like this, you know. I never forget, you know, I was leaving my job. I was in Tulsa. I had to transfer to a job up there when I was going to Rhema, you know. And I'll never forget, we saw this ad in the paper. My wife was like, what do you want to do now, you know? And I've talked about that many times. But I'll never forget, though, we ended up going to work for a company that it wasn't even there. And they started forming this company when we started working there. And it helped lots of different ministries and things like that, you know. I've never seen anything in the world like that before, you know, but he was providing and taking care of us, you know, but he formed something out of nothing, you know. There was one company that was already taking care of lots of ministries, and a new company came out of that company, and we were at the very ground level of that thing starting in a brand new building with brand new chairs, brand new everything, you know, as it started, and we only came in certain hours at the night, you know, and stuff like that, but they paid us, took care of us, and it was quite a blessing, but I've never seen anything like that before. You know, and the way he provides for you, you may never ever see how he does that before, or you might not understand how he does that. It has a lot to do with you acting, you stepping out. Maybe he'll heal you, and you've never seen anything like that before, you know, but it has a lot to do with you stepping out and letting him heal in you the way he wants to heal you, you know. Maybe, you know, in a certain area, you know, he's trying to help you provide for your destiny or help you to fulfill your destiny. And he works out certain situations for you to be in a certain church or a youth pastor at a certain church, you know, or working something like that, you know. You've never seen anything like that before, but God will do some things that just blow your mind if you'll step out and release your faith. Notice Jesus saw their faith, though. Is he seeing your faith today? What does he see? Does he see your faith? You know, does he see it on a daily basis that you're acting on your faith? Now, that doesn't mean just, you know, some supernatural jump out there to do something, you know, and he may have you do that. He's had me do that, you know. He may have you do that. But, you know, that means on every level. Are you showing your faith in every level? Showing that you love people, like I said before. Showing forgiveness to people, like I said before. If you truly believe the word, what it says about those things, then you're going to act on those things just like you would something big. And it's important that we're showing our faith in every level. Can God see your faith? If we were coming to your house today, could we see your faith today? You releasing your faith. Let's look over at Mark, the fourth chapter, Mark 4. Excuse me. I'm going to grab a drink of water here. Mark 4. And we're going to go to the 36th verse. Faith is something you can see if you're releasing it. Faith is also something you can see if you're not using it. Right? You can see that here in Mark 4, the 36th verse. It says, when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And when he had in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow, and they awake him, and they say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? You know, it seems funny when you look at that, but there's people all over the world doing the same thing. God, don't you care that all this chaos is going on in the earth today? God, don't you care that you all this stuff's happening? That's exactly what they're saying here. God, don't you care that I'm sitting here and I'm going through this? Have you ever said that? You know, he hears you. But he's put us in responsible, you know, he's put us in charge of a lot of things. And, you know, the thing is, you know, he's already paid for everything. He's already taken care of everything with Jesus at the cross. It's all paid for. And if you understand that, then you understand that we have a part to play. You know, God's not just letting all this happen. Maybe you're letting it happen, you know. Maybe you're letting it happen in your own life. Maybe the things in the world are happening because Adam let things happen, you know. God's paid his price for everything, for you to have the best, but we have to act, you know, because he doesn't make anybody do anything. He lets people make bad choices. That's why some bad things happen. He gives them a free will. They have bad choices, you know, and you know, you say, well, why did that person's life turn out that way? Well, what choices did that person make, you know? You know, bad things only happen because the devil lets them happen. God only wants good things to happen. There's a bad devil. And there's a good God, and God wants good things for you to happen, but it has a lot to do with you releasing your faith. And that's what he's talking to them about here. He says, and he rose. What did he do? He didn't, as soon as they said that there was a challenge there, and they were wrong probably in their asking, but he showed love right away. He arose and rebuked the wind and said, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. So they were even, you know, they weren't showing any faith or showing any trust in him, and he still got up and showed love. And you know, in today in your life, maybe you've done lots of stuff wrong, or maybe you didn't respond right in a certain way. He still will show love. He's a good, grace-giving God. You know, some people say, you know, well, you caused this, so you're just going to have to go through it. And they act like that's some kind of scripture in the Bible, and that's not in the Bible. All I see in the Bible is him showing mercy and showing love. Even if you messed up, he's a good God. And he wants to show you grace and love today. He's a good God. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto them, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? And he says, how is it that you have no faith? So he could tell by their response if they were acting in faith. And you know, we can tell by your response if you're acting in faith today. You can tell by your lifestyle if you're acting in faith. And he asked them, he said, where's your faith? He's asking them, where is your faith? And he wants to see them have a good faith response. He's looking for faith in all of us. He's looking for us to trust him through all the challenges that we're going through. They're going through a storm. They're going through all kinds of stuff. But, you know, we're still supposed to have faith in him and trust in him. And he'll come and calm the storm. He'll stop the wind, you know. But we have to have faith in him and trust in him. Amen. In this case, you know, they should have rebuked the wind. They should have calmed the storm, speaking the things, because they could have took authority over it. But we have to have faith. We got to speak into our situations. We got to release our faith. And Jesus can see our faith in every area of our lives if we're releasing our faith. He's looking to see if we're going to use our faith. Amen. He's looking to and fro for somebody with some faith. He loves faith. Oh, he loves it when you use your faith in your life. Notice he could not see any faith with them. He saw fear. What is he seeing with you? Is he seeing faith? Or is he seeing fear? You know, fear works just like faith. You know, you can have a spirit of fear. You can have a spirit of faith. It has a lot to do with what you're persuaded of in your circumstances. You know, if you're listening to the news and you got all kinds of fear all the time, you know, well, you know, you're persuaded. You're firmly persuaded. You know, and you need to start listening to the Word of God and get up here. Why is God this big for some people, real small and tiny if you can't see me on the camera, and he's great and big to others? Well, it's because they spent time in his Word building him up, building up their faith. That's why some people have so much fear. They spend so much time listening to negative things and listening to things, and they get so persuaded of that junk, then they have that so much bigger than their faith. What are you listening to? With your eye gate and your ear gate, what are you listening to? What are you firmly persuaded of today? That's the thing you're going to act on. That's why people act crazy when they're fearful. They act and do some crazy things. You know, I was watching a YouTube video not too long ago. They're like, buy food, because it's all going to be gone. You know, it's all going to be gone. And you know, you listen that over and over. You think, dear goodness, I better buy everything they got. I better go fill up my car with. Pack fruit, and you know, and God can supply everything you need. You know, make sure you have way more than what you need, and here you are stuffing your trunk. You know, I remember Y2K, they had us so fearful. I'll never forget, you know, Y2K, me and my wife had jugs and jugs of water, you know. You know, water's going to be out. Y2K's coming, you know. You better make sure you got plenty of water. That was the big thing, you know. Make sure water, I mean, the number's going to go out. Water's going to shut off. You know, you aren't going to be able to go down and get you any Aquafina, or, you know, you're not going to be able to get anything, you know, so you got to make sure that you have, you know, but it's just fear, you know, and God, he doesn't work with fear. He works with faith, and we have to trust him that you're going to, now I'm not saying don't be smart if he tells you to put away some water or something like that, but make sure that it's not fear. And you're using faith in everything that you do. Hebrews 11, everybody's familiar with this, the sixth verse, it says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Yeah, so we got to have faith, and we have to be using corresponding action. And that's exactly what he talks about in the seventh verse. He says, for by faith Noah was warned of God of the things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. But notice though, he was like, man, it's going to rain. Building a boat, waiting for this rain to come. Think about that today, you know. I mean, the circumstances, he's building it right there in front of everybody, this massive boat, and the circumstances, I mean, think about that today, you know. He wanted to make sure that he had the boat for this major drought that's going to happen, that the world's never seen before, that's going to flood the earth. How many people believed that was going to happen? Did he really believe that was going to happen? But he did it, you know, and you and your situation, you know, today, you know, you may not think, well, this is going to really happen. Well, it will if it's God's word. You know, his word holds up the planet, the sun, the moon, and the stars. His word never fails, and he never lies. If he spoke it to you, then you need to make sure that you're doing it there. And Noah did that. The eighth verse is, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he had received for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing where he went. The circumstances would have said, this is crazy. I'm going somewhere. I don't even know where I'm going. But that's what God wanted him to do. And you know, your situation, you've got to see it within your spirit, see it within your heart, what he's speaking to you. And go and do it and fulfill that purpose that God has for your life. If Abraham hadn't done that, you know, it would have affected us. And how many people are you affecting by not doing what God's calling you to do? It's important that we do what he's called us to do. And the ninth verse is, for by faith he sojourned into a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Isn't that good? You know, God's got special places for you, special stuff for you. If you'll just go where he has you to go and do what he has you to do, but you have to act on your faith. He can tell you all day long, confirm it through 15 witnesses, speak to you through his word, speak through his preacher. But if you never do anything, it doesn't do any good. You have to step out and trust God in faith. 11th verse is, through faith also Sarah herself received The seed conceived a seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Think about that. Now, they didn't think that, their circumstances didn't look like they were going to have a kid, but they had one, you know. And we need to be a people that see what God's having us do, see it in our spirit, see that vision he's given to us, that dream he's given to us, and step out. And you act on our faith on a regular basis so God can make that come to pass in our lives. Amen. I'll never forget, you know, I became a youth pastor after I left Rhema. And I never forget stepping out. You know, we had to step out. I had a job. It wasn't so great. And I ended up getting another job and different situations there, you know, and the church paid me very little, you know. But I had a dream. I wanted to minister, you know. It was in my heart. Like fire shut up in my bones. I wanted to minister to people, you know. And we started ministering to these young kids. They opened up this office door, and I had, I believe it was three Native American young ladies there, and then one even younger Native American boy. You know, and it was a real experience for me, you know. This was a Native American area, you know, and it was in Oklahoma where they, you know, they had certain areas that they had for the Native American people there. And I'll never forget, we started ministering to these people, you know, and we started just being faithful. They put us in the office of this place, and we went in there, you know, and we'd just be faithful every day. I'm wearing a suit jacket every day, you know, trying to look sharp, coming in there, youth pastoring every week, you know, minister to these kids. That's all I had, you know, to minister to was just them kids. And after a while, it started growing. The office started filling up with kids. And we had more kids. And we had more kids. They were getting filled up. It was a pretty long office, and the pastor's desk sat in the back, and it kept filling up, and we had kids all the way in the back and in the pastor's chair up on, behind his desk, and just kept filling up, you know. And after a while, then, you know, being faithful, the Lord started growing it, you know. And then we ended up having another building, you know, and they put us in this this building behind us, you know. There was a storage building behind us, and we started using that building. They built a door onto the front of the storage, and I'm like, wow, you know. So we're growing. And, you know, I'll never forget, he said, he wasn't going to give us any money. I was like, oh, no, we're not going to have any money from the church, you know. So I had to trust the Lord in that circumstance, you know. So I had to write out what I wanted to get, trust God what I wanted to get, you know. Have you even taken the time to write a list of what you want to get? You know, you have to, what are you showing God? What is your dream? What is your vision, you know? So I wrote out this list of the things that I wanted to get, you know. Sound system, I need a sound system, need a stage, you know, need all the stuff for a youth pastoring facility, you know. And I mean, all the stuff came in, all the things I needed, you know, without even a bean dinner, you know, without doing a car wash, you know. God brought it in, you know, using my faith, releasing my faith, writing it out, and you know, you gotta speak it. You know, had to use my faith, you know, if this thing's going to grow. And then by the time I left, you know, they was looking at building a new building for me by the time I was leaving, which I ended up leaving because I ended up doing a church in Oklahoma City, actually in Bethany, Oklahoma. But, you know, you think about that today, you know, they were going to build another facility for me, have another facility for it, and it could have just kept growing. It was already at the point we had so many youth that we were doing three trips in the bus. Me and my wife were driving them every time. And then it was filling up half of the church. Half of the church was filled with youth. Well, you know, somebody has to act on faith. You have to act on faith. If God wants to do something in your circumstances, you have to act on faith and trust the Lord so that he can bring those circumstances and make them better for you in your situation, you know. And so we want to make sure and act on our faith in every area, not just one area, but every area of our life. Let's look over at Mark, the 5th chapter and 25th verse there. This is a woman who acted on her faith, and God used her. Listen to what it says here. Mark 5:25, it says like this: a certain woman which had an issue of blood for 12 years had suffered many things and many physicians, and had spent all the time that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. And when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of blood was dried up, and she felt it in her body, and she was healed of the plague. And Jesus immediately turned himself around with the virtue that had gone out of him, and turned him about the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" Now, you think about this today. She heard some things. It says that she heard some stuff. If you go back up to the very first verse, it says a certain woman who had an issue of blood had suffered many things with the physician, spent all of her time there, grew worse. And she heard, the 27th verse says she heard of Jesus. What was she hearing of Jesus? She was hearing that he was a healer. She's hearing that people in her circumstances could be better. She was hearing that things were just going to, it could change for her. They did not have to be the same. And she could have a different life. She was hearing about this. And maybe today you're hearing some stuff, you know. You don't have to be like this anymore. God's got a better life for you. He can make things better for you. No matter what the things say in the natural, what you're seeing in the natural, he can make things better for you. You're hearing some stuff right now. And you're getting persuaded, but you have to act. If it's healing, you have to act. If it's getting saved, you have to act. We're going to pray for you in just a moment there. If it's another circumstance where you want to fulfill your destiny, you have to act. I can tell you story after story about that with me, you know. You have to act. It never happens without you stepping out and doing the things that you have to do in the circumstance that he's leading you to do. How can you act right now? What can you do right now? What can you step out? This woman said, "Well, if I just touch his garment," you know, she knew there was so much healing power on him that it was in his garment. She said, "If I could just get to his garment, you know, I'll get healed." Well, what is it for you today? Maybe it's starting a business. Maybe just doing something, you know. Maybe you need to go get a permit, or, you know, find a building, or let God lead you to a free building to start, or start out of your home. What do you got to do to act today? Maybe it's a job, you know. I don't know why the second time I've talked about this. Maybe it's a job. And maybe you need to do some research. Let him lead you, you know. Apply for certain ones a week and wait until he shows you which one to take. What is it you need to do? God can make it work out for you, but you have to listen and you have to act on what you believe. Believing's good, but you have to act on what he's having you use your faith for today. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you, Father, for your goodness. We thank you, Father, for your mercy. You've been sent to us, Father. And Father, we just ask, Lord, that as we've spent time with you today, Father, Lord, that you help us to act in every area of our lives by faith. Help us to use our faith and release our faith on a daily basis in every area of our life, especially the big areas that we need to release them in, that you're leading us right now to lead them to do that in. And Father, we ask for Jesus' name, and we thank you, Father, for it in advance, and we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. And if you don't know Jesus today, you need to know Jesus. You know, the Bible says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, we read it earlier, if you confess the Lord Jesus and believe God has risen him from the dead, you shall be saved. So just pray this prayer if you believe that today. Father, I believe you've risen Jesus from the dead. And Father, I confess Jesus as Lord of my life right now. Jesus be Lord of my life right now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you've prayed that prayer, you are saved. And I'd love to know about it. Email me here at jeremiasministries@yahoo.com. I'd love to hear about it. We love you. God bless you. We'll plan on spending more time with you this coming Wednesday. God bless you.
If you'd like to contact us for prayer, praise reports, or offerings, go to jeremiahsmithministries.podbean.com. Thank you for listening.